message this morning. Welcome to our drive-in service. Trust that you'll receive a blessing from God's word this morning from the time of praise and worship. And while we sing, try to join in. Amen.
Jesus came along.
morning as we open and commit our service to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that once again you've granted us the opportunity to come together in that precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift up your name this morning, and for truth we say that indeed everyone ought to know who you are. Lord, it's the most important friendship in the world. And pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that there will any be listening, Lord, perhaps this morning or at a later date, at another time, who know you not as Saviour and doesn't know you and have that personal relationship with you, that they will understand the importance of that friendship with Jesus, that they will understand the importance of a relationship with you, that they'll understand, Lord, that it is a vital and a must for salvation and for eternal life to know the Saviour, Jesus Christ. We ask you this morning, Lord, that you will have preeminence in our midst, that you would be lifted up and glorified in the precious name of Jesus. And I ask you, Lord God, that when your word comes forth this morning, it'll be like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll help me, Lord, even as I open your word this morning, Lord, to preach the truth from your word. Pray, Lord, that my thoughts will be cast down, and only that which is from heaven will be brought forth in Jesus Christ's name. I pray, Lord, that anything that's said will not be misunderstood, but it'll be clear and understood in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and that will bring glory and honour to your precious name. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. I ask you also this morning, Lord, for each one that's here, that you'd bless them, Lord. And Lord, whatever their circumstances may be, Lord, each person has troubles in their own lives, but I pray, Lord God, that you'll take care of them, Lord, as you always do. Pray, Lord Jesus Christ, you'll comfort them in the name of Jesus. Meet their every need. I ask you, Lord, for those that are home this morning, needing a touch from you. Lord God, as people, we can do absolutely nothing. All we can do, Lord, is believe your word and speak your word. For your word says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. We speak life over their circumstances this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak healing, Lord, over our loved ones this morning. Lord, the suffering, Lord, we speak relief and peace and joy in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will bring the full deliverance in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, I just now ask you that you will indeed bless this service. And Lord, indeed, for those that are at home, Lord, perhaps those that couldn't be here, be their portion, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to turn to number 500 in the Redemption Hymn Book. If you've got your book with you, God's Abiding Peace is in my soul today. Yes, I feel it now. I feel it now. He's taken all my doubts and fears, and I cannot tell you how. God's Abiding. Maybe we'll just change the key a little bit, maybe. Amen. God's Abiding. Yeah. Amen. We'll sing another hymn before we turn to God's Word, 510. And I maybe just have to flick because we have to turn the page. So we'll just continue on singing as much as we can. It is glory just to walk with him whose blood has ransomed me. It is rapture for my soul each day. It is joy divine to feel him near. Where my path may be, bless the Lord, his glory all the way. Praise God. Well, if you'd like to turn in your Bible this morning, hopefully that's okay, everyone can hear me, maybe it's a little close. Is that okay? Can everyone hear okay? Praise the Lord. Well, if you turn in our Bibles this morning, to Acts chapter 2, and we'll read verse 40, and I've entitled this little sermon this morning, Your Responsibility, on our pastor texted us yesterday. I didn't like to give the full title because it could be a bit misleading, but if I was to give it its full title, it's Your Responsibility to Save Yourself. And that's could get a lot of people's hackles up because, you know, in the main sense of it, you can't save yourself. But there is something you can do to save yourself. We're going to take a wee look at this morning. And just to have a balanced approach on it, and you know, say this could be a very controversial title for a certain group of people that would fight you tooth and nail over. But let's just believe God's word, will we? And let's read it this morning, and then we'll ask God's blessing upon his word once more. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. On this is Peter speaking on the day of Pentecost. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Our precious God, we pray, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to be upon your word and upon the things which are spoken in the precious name of Jesus Christ. I ask you, Lord, now that you'll come and minister unto each and every one in the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Let me hide behind you, Lord God. Let not my own thoughts come to the front, but Lord, let them be the thoughts of God in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. as I say, this can be a very controversial subject, and I'll have to put a disclaimer forward, but you know, if you ever get talking to some Calvinistic minded people, they are absolutely totally against anything that you can do to save yourself. You're absolutely helpless and hopeless, and you know, in a certain sense that's correct, but you know, some people even go to the extreme that you don't even need to repent, because they say that repentance of sins, or repent of your sins, is actually a work. And I don't believe that myself. I believe you must repent, and repentance isn't a work. Repentance is a change of your heart. It's a change of the condition of your heart. And that repentance comes through God's grace. And you must have that change in your heart. You must, whenever you're walking along, repentance means to do a U-turn. So whenever you're in this life journey, we're going to see that you're actually on toward God. But when you repent and you turn around, you're now toward God. So we want to see that repentance is a vital part of salvation. And also, you have a part to play. You know, some people want to preach it, God's election, so sure, and predestination, and you know, we believe these things, we must believe all of God's word, but they put so much emphasis on it that there is absolutely no responsibility on the person. But you know, whenever the gospel is proclaimed, the responsibility has to be placed upon you. The responsibility has to be placed upon the person. You must act. You must take responsibility because of what God has done for you. And let me say this morning that as far as every man and woman is concerned on this earth, there is not another thing the Lord can do to save them, because he has already done it all. In fact, the Bible says that by one man, sin, condemnation came upon all men because of one man's disobedience. And therefore, by the obedience of one man shall all be justified. Now, that's a very powerful statement, because what it suggests is that if Adam, through the transgression, his sin made all men to be sinners, then if we look at it, that Jesus Christ's remedy for that sin, was the remedy less than the actual act of sin? Was disobedience greater than obedience? And I would say to you this morning, no, it was not. Disobedience was not greater than obedience, because disobedience condemned all men to sin. But therefore then, if by one man's obedience, if he only could save some, or if only the some should be saved, then the act of disobedience would be greater, because that it far outweighs the act of obedience. But that's not the case. The case is this morning. This is how I believe it this morning, and no doubt many people will disagree with this, but I believe that all men's debt of sin has been totally paid for. Every man that's in hell this morning, and every one that has been in hell before, their debt of sin was already paid for. They didn't go to hell because they couldn't pay the fine. They didn't go to hell because the fine and the debt hadn't been paid. The debt was paid. They didn't have to go to hell. And let me say it this morning, that men and women, boys and girls who go to hell don't have to go there. They go there of their own choice, because they have rejected the grace and the free offer and the debt that had been paid. It was paid in full. It can't be added to. You can't come along with a man or woman and say, Lord, we've got a man here, he's not saved, and could you apply an extra credit to this man to be saved? No, that man's credit has already been applied. It's already been paid for. That man's sin has already been dealt with. The only reason that man remains in sin is because he refused to act upon the offer of grace. He rejects what Jesus Christ has done. That's why a man goes to hell. That's why a woman goes to hell, because they reject the Savior, because they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of, really necessarily because of Adam's sin, but that sin has been paid for. That act of sin has been dealt with. And a man and woman now can't blame Adam. If they go to hell, they can only blame themselves, because Christ took responsibility for Adam's sin, and greater was grace. The Bible says where sin did abound, and let me say that sin did abound. Sin abounds everywhere. You can take a look around these fields and you'll see thorns and thistles and weeds, and you'll see that sin's abounding. You can take a look to the laws in our land and the polished palaces of this world today and the high-end society, and you can see that everywhere you look, sin's abounding. Sin did abound, but praise God, the Bible says, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Therefore, the salvation and the offer of Jesus Christ, what he paid on the cross at Calvary, was greater than Adam's sin. You know, I often had a thought, and sometimes I would maybe like to preach on it, which was greater,
death or life. Because you see, whenever Adam disobeyed, death came upon all men. But whenever the Lord Jesus Christ offered up himself willingly, a willing sacrifice, what was greater? How come whenever Adam disobeyed, he died? And there was nothing he could do really to save himself. There was nothing he could do to extend his days. Yet with all we've seen one, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and he never sinned. And yet he died. You know how he died this morning? I'll tell you how he died. The Bible's very clear on this subject. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The reason why there's death in the world is because of sin. And Jesus Christ could only have suffered death because your sins were placed upon him. And God judged his own son as if he himself committed the very act. And I think of all the Bible characters. I think of David, how he committed adultery. I think of Samson, how he lay down with a harlot. I think of all the men of God that failed God, and God judged his son. He justified those men as if they had never done it, but sin still had to be paid. There still had to be justification. And for in order to be justification, there had to be punishment for sin. And God punished his own sin and took the sin of every man, woman, boy and girl that ever had been and never will be, and he placed it on Jesus Christ. And he became an offering for sin. And the Bible says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, and therefore it was acceptable that death should enter into his body. But whenever Adam died, he died never to live again in the flesh, never to live again. But when the Son of God died, the Bible says that he was cut off. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he was cut off from God. He was separated. That's why on the cross he cried the saddest words in all the Bible. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he was cut off from God. But do you know that even though he was cut off, and he absorbed all of sin's wrath and all of death, and he took all our punishment, he didn't stay dead. The Bible says that God raised him from the dead. You see, that life could not be extinguished because it's God's very life. And God, for a time, left Jesus Christ. You know, but the body died, but the soul didn't die. That Logos, that Word of God, that part of God, went actually into hell and preached on to the souls that were in prison. And after the time appointed, he came back to that body, and that body raised to life because life was greater than death. Because the very life giver himself was the Lord God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, and death couldn't hold him. Death, he triumphed over death, hell, and the grave, the only one ever to do it. Now, to get on to my subject this morning about saving yourselves, this is a very interesting piece of scripture, and may I say this morning, and I'll mention it as I go through, but as a rule, there is nothing you can do to save yourself. You know, man is absolutely, doesn't seek God, has no desire towards God. Everything that God does to bring a man or woman to salvation was God's grace. You see, whenever there was no Saviour, let me put it like this, Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But you know, whenever the angels sinned, there was sinners, but there was no Saviour. There was absolutely no Saviour for the angels that sinned. They are still sinners to this day. They're reserved in chains of darkness, and they're out loose and about, and they're in hell, and they are sinners forever. But when man sinned, God provided a sacrifice, because God wanted to be a Saviour to man. So in order for, first of all, for salvation to be accomplished, there has to be a sinner, and there has to be a Saviour. You couldn't be a Saviour if there was nothing to save, so there has to be a subject to save. And then also there has to be one to save the subject. There has to be a Saviour. And the Lord Jesus Christ was that Saviour. It was God's grace who provided the Saviour for the sinner. It was God's grace that enlightened your heart to call upon him. It was God's grace who gave us this word to preach unto all men and women. It was God's grace who gave you knowledge. And can I say this morning, that not everybody is like Abel, who was a man of faith and a man of revelation. Some people are like Cain. And God even offered Cain a chance to repent, because after Cain had failed to offer correctly, God said to Cain, "Why art thou wroth? And if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted?" So God was given, even though Cain didn't have the revelation that Abel had, God still made opportunity. And you might not have the revelation that somebody has, but here this morning I'm telling you, God still gives you opportunity. And God calls you, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? If you don't, if you come by blood, will God refuse you? God will, I tell you, nay, God shall not refuse anyone that comes by the blood or of the Lord Jesus Christ. God cannot refuse you. If you by faith, if you come by God and say, "I believe God, by the blood how shall they hear except by the foolishness of preaching? You see, there's got to be a responsibility on our part saying, and the Bible says here, and with any other words that he testified. Now, it's a very strange thing, I suppose, because with many other words, the Holy Ghost chose not to record the many other words because there was something that had to be highlighted. I couldn't exactly tell you, I could speculate what the many other words were, but I couldn't exactly tell you, but I can tell you one thing that Peter did say. I can tell you one thing that was very important, so important that it was recorded in Scripture that we today could read this account. And he says, with many other words did he testify and exhort to encourage the people. Well, I can't tell you the words that were exactly that he used, but the many other words we see earlier on, Peter's response when they said, what shall we do to be saved? And Peter, you know the Scripture very well, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and the promises unto you and to your children as many as afar off. But there's many other words that he said that we don't have record, but this word we have this morning, and he said this, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, in order for you to be able to save yourself, first of all, you're totally depending on somebody making provision for your salvation. And I don't believe for a second that saving yourself is not a works program. There's nothing you can do to merit this. This saving yourself is solely your responsibility and your action to obey. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey him. And that is the reaction. That's how you can save yourself this morning, by simply obeying God's word. And it says toward, from this untoward generation. You know, if ever we lived in an untoward generation, it's this time. We see that everything is untoward God. And I said earlier on to start that when we're in this world, we're untoward God. We're willful, we are full of our own mindset, we're determined to do our own things. We go through the world, we can be arrogant, we can be perverse, and them things make God angry, you see, because they transgress the very nature of God. You know, when God made a man, he gave him the best thing that he could give, he gave him a woman. And now we have in this day that it used to be an awful thing, wasn't it, that when somebody committed adultery, that was an awful thing. Now, that's just by the ball, that doesn't even matter. People's getting married 2 and 3 times, it means nothing. But now then, you see, the next step was then that they'd have men with men and women with women. And that used to be a shocking thing, and they're trying so hard now just to pretend that as normal. Now they want to go even further, even perverse, that there's no such thing as a man, there's no such thing as a woman, you can choose your own gender. These things are totally perverse. Them things are untoward God. Those things make God angry. Those things ought to, as believers, make us angry. It's an untoward generation that we're living in. They want to call sweeter, bitter, sweet, bitter, and bitter, sweet. They want to call light, darkness, and darkness, light. They're perverse. They're untoward God. And the Bible says to save yourself from that type of a generation. You know, you're in this world, but you don't have to continue on with it. You can save yourself. Now let me say this morning, I want to paint the picture this morning so that I'm not misunderstood of how a man may save himself. I want to take any man in the world today, you take the richest man there is in this world today for an example. I want to just, if I can, for a time to set an example this morning. Take any man in this world, may it be the richest man or the poorest man, it matters not. You take that man out of his environment where he's at now, and you isolate him, and you put him in the middle of the Sahara Desert, and you strip him off his clothes, and he's there naked just as he came into the world. He hasn't got no means now whatsoever. Doesn't have his friends, he doesn't have his family, doesn't have a telephone, he can't make a phone call, he can't phone a friend. He's isolated in the middle of the Sahara Desert. Now you know, if you know anything at all, he's not going to last long there because he has no protection from the sun. He doesn't have any water. He doesn't have any means. He has no tools to make a shelter for himself. He has absolutely no provision whatsoever. This man is bound to die. No matter who he is, he's bound to die. He can absolutely do nothing to save himself. He has no means by which he can help himself. And that's what we're like. We're like that man in the desert. We have no means at all by which we can help ourselves. We're naked, and we are totally destitute of any means whatsoever. We are hungry, we have no food. At night time we're cold, during the day we're too hot. The sun's burning us by day, at night the frost is upon us and the cold. We're smelly, we have no water to wash ourselves, we're stinking. And you might think, oh, plenty of soap and water. You take, for example, now I want to see, what I'm painting the picture here is how God uses, no matter how rich you are, no matter how wealthy you are, whatever them circumstances, in God's sight, you're stinking. The Bible says all our righteousness is a filthy rag. I'll not say what that filthy rag is this morning. It's maybe not appropriate, but it's a stinking piece of cloth and garment. And the Bible says that's what we're like. Our righteousness is like that. We've committed criminal offences. Nobody wants us. There's nothing beautiful about us. We're stinking. We're smelly. With nothing we can do to help ourselves. We're just a bit of dirt, to be honest with you. The Psalmist David says he remembers our frame, that we are but dust. So you see, we're absolutely nothing at all. This man is bound to die. Can't do nothing to save himself at all. Then a greater man comes along. Someone greater comes along. And they see this man's need. They see that he has absolutely by no means which he can help himself. He's just running down there in the dirt, going round circles. He's an ignoramus. And this other good man takes pity. And he says, that environment's not good for that person to be in. That person can't do well where he's at. That person's going to die. But I will make him an environment by which he can live and enjoy life. And this other good man comes along and he goes to a lovely place like a valley where there's trees that can be made for firewood, trees for shelter. And there's a river flowing by, the fresh flowing stream, that there's fresh water all the time. There's plenty of animals about for game. There's good soil. There's plenty of everything that you need for all your assistance. And this man decides then that he'll build a house. He has the house well insulated. And when he gets the house built, he makes him a nice garden. He has lovely sunshine coming through. When it's too hot, you can go in and take shelter from the trees or into the house. If it's too warm, too cold, you can put the heating on. Fills the oil tank full of oil. He decorates the house, has the best furniture in it. He fills the cupboards full of groceries. He provides a car, he provides transport. He provides everything that this man has need of. He has windows on, he has doors on. He has everything that the builder can offer this man. And then, not only that, but he comes now to this man and he makes known that he has made provision for him. And he says, here's the key to the house. And where you are now, I'll take you because you're not able to come to me. But I'll come to you and I'll bring you to this place. You don't have to worry about your transport. I'll take care of that. I've took care of all the costs. I've took care of everything. I've everything here that you need to live. I've everything here that you need to be happy. Of everything that you need to survive. And if God comes to that man and gives him the key, and he said, there's the key of the house, there's an open door, and all you have to do is go through it. Now, the good man has done everything that he can possibly do. The man knows his need, the man knows he's worthless, he's useless. The man knows that if he goes here, he can get a hot shower. He's provided soaps and aftershave and deodorant. He's everything prepared that when he comes, he can get washed and get cleaned up. He doesn't have to live filthy. He doesn't have to live unclean. He doesn't have to live in stink. He doesn't have to live being scorched with the sun, being cold at night. He doesn't have no longer to do that. All he has to do is accept the good man's offer. But now you see, the good man took pity. And he didn't have to. But out of his own goodness and his own grace, he saw the poor man and he took pity. And now the good man comes and he gives the man the keys. And he says, there's the key. All you need to do is come and go through the door. And the Bible says in John 10 verse 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. But you know, God's not going to force him. The good man doesn't force him. So you see, every man provided was provided by the good man. But this man now has a responsibility to save himself. If he dies in the desert, he didn't die because there was no provision. He didn't die because there hadn't been means made. He didn't die because if somebody didn't take care of his transport. He didn't die because of any of that. He died because of his own selfishness. And because of his own arrogance. And because he was untoward. But he now has that chance and he now has in a position to save himself. And all he need do is obey. All he need do is go through the door. The door's been opened. The door's been built. The palace has been taken care of. Everything's been taken care of. It's been paid. There's no debt on this place. It's been paid for. His criminal offences have been wiped out. He's offered a new start. But now he must save himself. You see, God's not a forceful God. God's not going to force you to do something against your will. He's not a cattle drover. He didn't come in the Bible. He didn't say that I'm the cowboy of the cattle. No, you see, a cowboy's a drover. They drive cattle. You shout at them and you wail at them and wave sticks at them and stuff. It's not how a shepherd works. A shepherd leads. A shepherd walks and the sheep follow behind. A shepherd speaks and the sheep hear his voice and know his voice and they follow him. And hear the Lord till every man and every woman has done as this is done. You're the man in the desert. You have no means. You're stinking and filthy and hopeless without Christ. And God, by his own mercy and by his own grace, has made provision for you and has given you the invitation. And I have even prepared a place for you. The Bible says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. You don't have to remain in the Sahara Desert. Provision has been made. There's an invitation now. All you have to do is act. And that's how you save yourself. You've got a responsibility to act, just as they had when Joshua spoke to the children of Israel. He said, choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. Choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. The choice is yours. If you go to hell, if you remain in the desert, it's because of your own actions. It's not because God didn't take care of you. It's not that God didn't make provision. It's not that God didn't make invitation. For he said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God made provision for the whosoever. God loves you. God, the Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God would that you would repent. In fact, God's word even declares that he commands all men everywhere to repent. There was a time of ignorance when God went on it. But now the Bible says it's a commandment. I command all men everywhere to repent. You don't do that. You see, God can't repent for you. God never sinned. He can't repent for you. It was you that done the sinning. And that's your part to play. You've got to repent. You've got to turn towards God. You've got to get out of this untoward generation and turn yourself toward God. That's how you can save yourself. You see, it's not by means, it's not by merit. All the work, all the provision was made by God. But God simply requires this of you to obey. He wants you to obey. I said earlier that the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey him. And if you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got life. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have life. And you're dead in trespasses and sins. You know, it's your responsibility now. You are responsible. God took Adam's responsibility upon himself when he gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he gave his darling son, his only begotten son, the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, into the hands of sinful men to do with him what they will. Peter said in Acts chapter 3, I believe it is, and he says, and killed the Prince of Life. He says, by cruel hands you took and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead. We're witnesses. We're all guilty of it. We're all guilty this morning. We're all hell deserving, but God in his grace turned toward us. And you have a responsibility to act. You have a responsibility now to save yourself from this untoward generation. Turn to God in repentance. Ask God for his mercy, and he will indeed save you and deliver you. You know, people are full of responsibilities in this life. People are responsible. They'll get up every Monday morning and go to their work and work all week. They're responsible to work. They're responsible to look after their family. They're responsible to look after their health. And you know, let me say this morning, that a man without God is a fish out of water. You know, if you take a fish out of water, he'll only live but for a moment and life is brief. Unless you get that fish into the water, he'll die. And unless you get a man to Christ, he'll die. He can't live without God. And God has made provision. God has made the water for the fish to live in. And God has prepared an environment for which you can live in. But while you're sinful, you're dying. And you need to get the sin removed. And the only thing that can remove sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only sin stain remover. Bleach can't do it. Nothing else can do it. Soap can't do it. But the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse sin and make you perfect before God. People are responsible in many other aspects of their life. They're responsible to lift their children on time. They're responsible to buy their groceries. And you know, sometimes because of life so brief, people want to prolong their life, don't they? They spend a lot of money on beauty products. They spend a lot of money on anti-aging creams. They spend perhaps money on going to the gym and keeping themselves fit. And them things is all right and good. But you know, they're trying to preserve their life for longer. But that won't do it. That won't save you. You'll still die. Beauty creams can't save you. Exercise can't save you. But you're now responsible to take God up on his offer. What he offers freely to every man for salvation. Jesus Christ is that way. Jesus Jesus Christ paid it all when he died on the cross. And you must come to Jesus Christ to be saved. But let me tell you, God doesn't need to repent. God, there's nothing more God can do. God wants you now to decide. The decision is yours. And let me say this morning, if any man or woman ends up in hell, it's not because God didn't make provision. It's because they refused the Son of Life, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Glory. They refused him. You know, it's an awful thing to refuse the Lord Jesus Christ. This is condemnation. That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. That's why a man or woman will go to hell. Not go to hell, really, because original sin has been paid for. You are the purchased of the Lord Jesus Christ, but if you reject what he's done, if you don't accept the offer, that's your fault. You have got to act. You see, we're not dummies. We're not robots. We're living people with a mind. God has given us an intelligent mind with the highest form of life on this planet that God created when he made everything. The last thing that he made was a man, and he made him in God's image. There's something special about that. And we have a responsibility to get back to God. You know, there was a time when God drove out man from him. In the Garden of Eden, he chased Adam and Eve out of the garden. And he put cherubims with flames, swords of flames to guard the way of the tree of life. But after the time had passed, God sent forth his Son. And when God sent that Son, those angels sheathed their swords. No longer are they keeping men from the tree of life, but they're ushering men to the tree of life. And I say to you this morning, come to the tree of life. All that come unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. These are the words of the lovely Saviour. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to come, but he won't force you. You see, you've got your own choice. He didn't make you that you couldn't make up your own mind. No, God has made you a man or a woman in God's image. He's given you an intelligent mind. You've got the ability to choose now for yourself. You understand clearly. I believe this morning this speaks clearly of a certain way. There's nothing you can do without the Saviour's help to save yourself. But whenever God has done all that he's done, he requires one last thing of you. To save yourself, you must obey. You must repent. Repent and believe the gospel. You know, to say that you don't need to repent is a false doctrine. Whenever John preached, he preached repentance. When Jesus came preaching, he preached repentance. When Peter preached, he preached repentance. And even Paul, to say that Paul didn't preach repentance, but he did. Paul did preach that there's actually a scripture I'm thinking of. It can't come to mind at the moment, but there's a scripture where Paul also speaks of repentance. You see, without turning toward God, you see, we're untoward God. We're not toward God at all. But you have a responsibility to turn yourself toward God. God doesn't want you going that way. Then think, you know by God's word that that's not acceptable for you, an acceptable way for you to be, an acceptable way for you to accept. God wants you to be responsible for yourself. And he wants you to accept what he has done for you. He wants you to turn to him. All you have to do is call on him. You see, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That requires an action of obedience from you. That requires that you cry. That you cry unto the Lord. That requires you to do something. You're responsible this morning to act. You're responsible. God took responsibility at Calvary. Now it's your turn. You must be responsible. I can't overstress that enough. You're responsible because the debt has been paid. God can do nothing else for you. There's nothing else God can do. God's giving you the invitation. He wants you to act. He's made provision for you. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. The Bible says, with many other words, he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You know, this generation is toward hell, no doubt about it. They're willful, and they're unruly, and they're crooked, and they're perverse. That's what that word untoward means. To be crooked, willful, and perverse. This is certainly not time. Listen, if you're listening to this, and you know that you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, do something. You can do something about it. You're the only one who can do it. You can't do it for your mother. You can't do it for your father. You can't do it for your brother, sister, son or daughter. Aunt or uncle or grandparents. But you can do it for yourself. You can do something. There's something you can do. God's word requires you to take action. And God's word replaces now a responsibility upon you because he made that provision for you. So you see this morning, I'm not preaching this morning that you can merit your salvation. I'm not preaching this morning that you earned your salvation through something that you've done. I'm not even saying that you decided to seek God. I'm not saying that at all. God came seeking you. This is God's word. I have emphasized this morning that it was all to do with God, but you see, there has to be, in order to be a saved person, there has to be a saviour and there has to be a sinner. And God has made provision for the sinner to be saved, but he won't force you. God will not force you to do something against your will. He wants you to be willing, but he does require you to act. And let me say this morning, let me be clear. Any man or woman that disobeys this command to call upon the Lord, or disobeys to repent and turn toward God, they'll end up in hell. Not because they had to go there, but because they choose to go there. Not enough. Imagine ending up in hell, lifting up your eyes in hell and hearing the voices of the preachers all that preach through the years and decades, and the times you read God's word, the time that you've seen it in posters, all the invitations. Why did it not come? Can you think of one logical excuse in hell being on torment where the fire's not quenched and the worm death not? Do you think, is there anybody in hell can think of one reliable excuse why they're there? One valid excuse why they didn't pay heed to that man or woman who told them about God? Why they didn't even pay heed when the Holy Ghost spoke to them through his own word? Why when he made it plain to them that he gave them an intellectual mind that they could read and follow instruction? Let me tell you this morning, there's men and women that's not saved, and they can take a blueprint of a house and they can build a house exactly to the blueprint. And they can read this blueprint and not be saved. Why is that? Is it because they haven't got the intellect? No. Because of rebellion. And because they choose not to take God up on his offer. It's not because of ignorance this morning that people go to hell. Because of unbelief and disobedience to God's word. I'm going to close this morning, and I know maybe that's not very pleasant preaching, but you understand this morning, I'm not saying that a man or woman can do suffering specifically to save himself. There has to be first provision made to the Saviour. Everything was God. God came seeking man. There was nothing good in man. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, believe it is, it says that that God loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. You see, there's nothing like, it was that man I told you about in the desert. He was stinking filthy, had no means whatsoever. It was the Lord who took pity on him. The good man of the house came and took pity on him and made provision for him out of his own goodness. It was God through his own mercy and grace that offers salvation. But it's been offered. Now it's up to you to save yourself. Save yourself from this untoward generation. All you can do, you can't work, you can't get it by merit. All you can do is act on his merit, on his righteousness, and obey his word. Amen. I trust that hasn't been confusing to any this morning. And I trust you don't understand this morning misunderstand what I've tried to say this morning. But let's be clear. I didn't say it. Peter said it. Inspired by the Holy Ghost. With many other words did he testify and exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Praise God. All I can say this morning is I didn't say it. I'm saying what somebody else said. But I say amen to the word of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Our precious Saviour, we indeed thank you for your provision that you have made. And Lord, we're not proud people this morning. We don't come saying that we can achieve something. We can achieve nothing. Lord, all that is done by your grace. You give us everything that we have need of. You provide our means. You provide everything. You've made provision for us. Even as Noah was helpless during the time of the flood, you give him instruction to build an ark, but he was responsible to chop down the trees. He was responsible to pitch the ark and to follow the blueprint exactly as you described. You made provision, Lord. The wind was there. You had the seed in the earth from when you created this earth that would grow the trees. The oil and the pitch and everything was provided for. All he needed to do was obey and go to action. Lord God, he saved his house by faith, Lord. His house was spared. Him and his family and the animals that were in the ark were saved because they obeyed your voice. Lord God, help us this morning, Lord, to obey your voice. Help us, Lord God, to understand what your word says. And I tell you this morning, Lord, perhaps later on, at a later date, a later time, by some other means, would listen to this service. Pray, Lord God, that your word will speak to them and that they'll get right with you, knowing, Lord God, the time is short. And Lord, what a terrible thing it would be to go to hell and think upon it, Lord, for there's no reason why a man or woman should go to hell, only that they rejected you through their own arrogance, through their own untowardness. Oh God, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to be toward you, that our minds and hearts will be toward you, our face will be toward heaven, and looking on to thee, the author and the finisher of our faith, in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to sing another hymn. Amen. 611, if we can turn to it, in the Redemption Hymn Book. And what a wonderful thing it is to be saved. 611, you know, it's before you catch the fish, it's often said, before you catch, or before you clean the fish out, you first have to catch it. Well, I don't think this morning Gary doesn't believe in predestination and them things. I do. But you know, let's not confuse and let's not get away from the simpleness and simplicity of the gospel that whosoever, you know, it's a very important doctrine, and you know, if you don't know anything else, as long as you know that, that's enough, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's enough, praise God. Amen. 611, I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me on the cruel cross he suffered from the first to set me free.
I will say, I'm not afraid. 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 I'm not afra
car just for any announcements that need to be made, please.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one, and we appreciate the Lord and appreciate the word of Brother Gary brought. And you know, as far as preaching goes, I believe our brother really preached a really good gospel message. I believe every word of it. I want to encourage Brother Gary for the message he brought, and the last time as well. I think that's the best I've heard him the last two times he's preached. And I believe the Lord's using our brother. He'll be preaching again tonight from Market Hill at 7:30. Tune in tonight. It'll be live on Facebook. Our brother Gary will be preaching from Market Hill. And also then our own service will be again live at 4:30 in our church shop on Facebook as well. If the weather continues to keep like this, maybe we'll start doing some evening meetings. And we'll just see how it goes. So let me know what you think about that. If everybody's willing for that, or maybe it's too early yet, but I'm thinking maybe in the next month or so. And we just appreciate the Lord. Tremendous services through this week. You know, from Saturday to Wednesday, I did 6 services. From last Saturday to Wednesday, past 6 meetings. I preached for a church in Sheffield on Wednesday before our own meeting. And the pastor was saying when I come on there that the last time I physically was in Sheffield preaching, I preached about the blood of Jesus. And I invited a neighbour, she was 80 years of age. And she got saved that night. And she had never walked out of church, she danced out of it. And she said she was going home covered in the blood of Jesus. The Lord transformed her, 80 years young. I'll tell you, our God's able. And you know, I want us, we might be in lockdown and all these things, but let us be positive, not negative. Let us be positive. Let us go forward with God and the things of God. Let us have the right attitude, a positive attitude. Maybe you think nothing's happening and you're praying for them. But let's keep on keeping on, because God is real. If God has spoke to you today in these cars, maybe you're here, maybe you're not saved. Maybe someone listening not saved, and a brother has put it so well. If you call on the Lord, you shall be saved. Praise God. I want to pray, and then our brother's going to come, and we're going to go shortly. And don't forget, 4:30 this evening on our church shop on Facebook. And then also, our brother Gary will be on at 7:30. Pray for all the services. Next Sunday morning, we'll have a guest speaker here. Next Sunday morning. So come along next Sunday morning. I'll advertise it beforehand. We'll have a guest speaker next Sunday morning. Pray for Brother John Weir as well. His sister's mentioned it. He's having great meetings up in Enniskillen, other places, and the Lord willing, we'll have him with ourselves here as well. I'm not sure of the date yet, but pray for all these meetings what we're planning by God's grace. The focus is to see people saved. I'm a strong believer in healing, but you could be healed and not be saved. Salvation is of the utmost importance above everything. And we want to see people saved. Let's bow our heads. And if you have a need in your car, lift your hand up in faith to God this morning, wherever you are. And you believe God as we pray that God will have his way with each and every one of us. Father in heaven, we thank you for such a wonderful morning and a wonderful Saviour. We bless you for the message of the gospel. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we heard that you moved every one of us and we made that decision to call on your lovely name. Lord, we can say that you're not a disappointment, but Lord, you're precious to those of us that are saved. We bless your name, dear God. We thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. Father, we believe your blood shall never lose its power. And Father, we would ask you this morning that you indeed would cover us and wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, I pray over this townland that the power of the gospel will reach and save men and women. Father, we claim all that will hear the voice of the gospel. Lord, for those in our own homes, save them and deliver them. For those that need a miracle, oh God, you're the Savior. You died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And as our brother said, there's nothing more you can do. And Lord, we know there's no divine Savior, only Jesus. And there's no divine healer, only Jesus. Lord, we commit it all to thee. And we pray that thou wilt save and heal and deliver in Jesus Christ's name. Father, I pray for the hands that's raised in these vehicles. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, meet every need and answer prayer. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts, and we commit ourselves afresh to thee. Bless every home represented. Bless the people as they travel. Bless the children. Cover them with the blood. We pray again for the nurses and doctors over this province. The thou indeed will keep them and bless them. We pray for those in authority, that thou will give them wisdom and guidance in Jesus' name. And we pray for thy own people, Israel, the blessing of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, part us with thy blessing that maketh rich and out of no sorrows, till thou would come or call, and bless the speaker of thy word and his whole house. For all this we would ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one.
Years, whatever. I don't want to say 25 years in case he comes before that. That leaves better, won't it?